other problems.
Sir.
they know damn well something's going on, but in fact, we're not talking. See, it's going to worry them.
Don't you agree?
I just don't believe that you just go burden the people right away. It's going to worry.
We'll see what kind of fences they do.
God, what a movie.
Well, then?
Well, if I was in a movie, you wouldn't believe it.
I would see it. Mr. President, about half the things that I said down here would have been believed if they were happening.
Weren't you pleased when we saw the culmination of the court meeting today with Red Clifton Powell coming
back? Oh, that's fine, man. This is good.
They're such, and you know, I never met their families, but they look just like I thought they looked. Yeah. They just look great, didn't they?
Absolutely.
Wonderful people.
They're precious, famous, what a brood you are. So.
Yeah, and their wives are practically nice. They're going to adore them as well. Incidentally, let me ask you something before we get to anything else. Will Pollard's children now line up with the four of us going to go on that way? I don't mean they're all going to be, the four are going to be together, but is Stuart going to go to Georgetown, or is he going to go further?
If I had to guess, the Christian will probably be pretty
much. Yes. Yeah, I remember the kind of
I would guess that Hutter will probably find that Morris is being with nothing. Yeah. His political philosophy. He had a hard time, as Potter Stewart, in their conferences, advancing the arguments of rationality and so forth.
But now you may go with it. Particularly when you've got in both Carl and Rehnquist fine legal minds who argue from hard.
And in these conferences where they come to the following conclusions by the rules, you do have this hard give and take arguments.
They really go after the rules.
In some cases, we had 3 or 4 days on some of those cases. And I don't think that our steward would be under the same dominating influence.
The brains are all on the other side. Now let's see if the brains will line up. Black is gone. Well, but what the hell? You've got Brennan. Who are the leaders of the Liberals? Brennan, Thurgood Marshall, and
Douglas.
Douglas, did he talk up in the comments?
He does. Douglas had him down in the court for 30 years.
And also being a damn able man.
He's a very able man. But he has
that's it.
Where is it?
are a person, keeping your maintenance on solid in case.
I
don't know whether that Dan Marshall, he's pretty good help.
Well, he's not good help. He's
Douglas. Change the court, right? four judges.
They would have done anything, especially the labor unions and civil rights groups and so forth, to keep you, or force you, which they've tried all along, to back up the issue and to send up a,
oh, sure, I'll
be right. Burning seat or something.
Yeah. Well, they go further than that. They want me to send up one of Javis's name. White guy at church talking to the auditor who gets another company that son of a bitch up there in New York. Wrote a company. So, this is weak. Don't you agree? But we're weak. And I heard him say about it, he'll never go up, not one bad bit.
No, it's just because he said it.
Which are tremendous.
every new lead coming back with a credit, the credit. And finally, we're going to have to address the credit.
Remember him, John, from the
company. Is he a lawyer?
Yes.
He's a lawyer. He taught school, worked at work for law school, and been on the board of education on the state, he's the state senator,
and he confirms
practically everything that Gilman testified to. I would say that there's no question that this Gilman was caused courage to go through the burn bags. He came back from the two trips, one with Henry, one with Al, turned over to his boss.
Which one did you go with Henry?
But if you went to the China trip.
It was your first secret China trip.
He was on that?
Yes, sir.
He didn't go in.
He stopped in Pakistan.
But when he returned, he turned over to his admiral everything in the way of carbons.
I want to ask the question, how long has this practice been going on, just in this administration or on the previous?
We don't have any way to know.
We ought to find out. But if they're trying to spy on us, why the hell didn't they spy on Johnson and Kennedy?
Well, I think they probably did. See, the office has existed for 11 years.
Okay, go ahead.
So,
again, I might ask that we should lose the
MA. I would like for you in your further investigation, give me to get that kind of information. I don't know how long ago it was established, what kind of men have been in it, whether or not, for example, Rostow knew this, when he was here. I'd like to know whether he was inspired on.
The function of the office has changed in this administration because of Fay. Fay would have been this guy, except that he was promoted to assistant for Henry. So they moved another guy into the office. That's very silly. But the long and short of this is that anything and everything which was in any way reduced to writing on Haig's trip to Vietnam, on Henry's trip to China, was delivered to this admiral for him to go through. He pulled out the things which he thought were particularly interesting and turned them over to war. And he only reports to Warren. He doesn't report to anybody else. And he described for us some of the antagonisms that have resulted from the fact that he will not report to any of the other junk chiefs.
How does someone do it?
For Warren, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that this guy does is to, on occasion, he will be given a whole file of documents from the, what do they call it here, the information. And he will take that file in and give it to his boss and ask him if there's anything there that they would be interested in. And this guy then goes through it systematically and pulls out the things. Not destined for them at all, but maybe to you or anyone,
including the back
channel. Anything that has to be in the file for distribution at that time. Pull it out, say, I want this and this and this and this. The guy duplicates it. Puts the original back in. Puts it back into the router. And then that goes over there.
Tell me, do you have, what is your information as to whether Henry knew this was being done?
He tells us, the admiral says, neither Henry nor Haig knew what this was.
Then why in the hell did he say that he couldn't talk until he got through?
Well, it's sort of the stall.
I see. Yeah, what do you think? You think Henry knew this?
I don't.
Henry would never know. I don't think Henry would ever let anybody think of it, that a back channel thing, for example, would go to Mars. We don't. We say that a back channel, believe me. We play lots of, there have been more back channel games played in this administration than any in history, but we couldn't trust the goddamn State Department. You know that.
But the one key thing is the best example we have that Henry would go up the wall and everything is what we call the Camp David bomb, which was secret trip to Vietnam and Paris.
Yeah.
And there was one general in that on that. Gilman got Haig alone there, and on this day, and this is the first step for an investigation.
going for other purposes.
Hey, Don, he has another problem.
John's obviously done a hell of a job with her. That's pretty good.
Well, the Don was going over, you know, the test plans and all that.
That's right.
And there's also many covers and something.
All of these features are covers that did for her a great new covers and all that.
Now, does the Admiral know, well, the Admiral, if he doesn't know, I don't know, did he know that he was getting stuff from Henry's briefcase and this and that?
Claims not. He knew that he was getting, well, I'll take back. He admitted that the stuff he got off the prince was extremely important. And he said that could have been a briefcase, it could have been anything. He does not know of any instance, he said, where stuff has been taken from briefcases here in the office and delivered to
people. But we don't know. We think there was.
The guy testified that he did that. But bear in mind, he worked for two admirals. He worked for Robinson first. Now, he admitted, in response to it, although I have to admit it's a really good question, that when Robinson broke him in and turned this yeoman over to him, he said, in effect, this guy had a hell of a good bird job. He can get a lot of stuff, but your boss will want to know. And put it, said the way you phrased it, that's why I phrased it, and he agreed to it.
The only kind of instruction we can say that Master ever got, according to Master, was Robinson telling him to keep his eyes in his open.
But this guy,
he produces the
investment. Yeah. This guy tells me,
not related to that,
I don't know.
This fellow says
he wouldn't be in your mind.
That when the yeoman was assigned to a trip like Henry's trip, he would come in and say to the Admiral, now, is there anything particular that I ought to be keeping my eyes and ears open for on this trip? And he would say, in the case of Hagstrom, he said, yes, we were very concerned about the troop levels and withdrawals and so on. He gave him certain sort of specifications. Things that he was particularly keen on.
Can you find out how this yeoman got into the Hague pistol or on this trip?
Yes, sir. So it was explained specifically that when first was and now went, I think, and he just needed the yeoman very quickly to help him out and someone to help take notes. And Admiral Robinson was here at the time, and Robinson said, very good, and the terrific thing on taking
him
along. And he was. And he was very, he is very good. I mean, he's walked the board, so Al took him as being, very helpful guy.
Remorse is the product, I think, of a lot of anguish on his part. It is the fact that he realizes he's checkmated, that either he's responsive to us or else he's up against a good commander-in-chief. And it's just an irresistible force that his body moved.
He realizes his whole career is on the line.
Exactly. And I talked to him about the implications. And he says, I see what they are. He says, they are very serious, and I know it. And he said, I'm not proud of them. And there
all the fellow calls his duty to do it.
Sure.
Sure, that's why he ordered you.
He said, that's why he was here.
He didn't have to worry about
you. You're talking about the Admiral? Yeah.
Does the Admiral, excuse me, go ahead. Does the Admiral know that he knows now that we believe that the young
Radford
is the call that turned his crap over to Anderson.
He believes that himself,
yeah. We have just virtually conclusive evidence now, and the chain of circumstances is incredible. This man, Admiral, what's his name?
Well,
wrote a talking paper for himself so that he could talk to Hay about how to leak fleet movements if we wanted that information to seep out.
Right, I told Henry to do that.
All right. He wrote it.
I said the purpose being that we wanted to get the word out and put a little pressure on.
So Weller went home and wrote this out longhand at home, came to work, had his yeoman type it for him. An original and a copy. The copy was for Hay. He took it over in the afternoon to talk to Hay about it and discovered that other decisions had overtaken him. So he never took it out of his pocket. Brought it back, sealed it up, and put it in his safe. It appeared in Jack Ames.
Oh, well. Now, nobody else had that.
Right. And he named his memo, his talking points here, said how the transaction came to Jakarta and the Philippines and Singapore. Saying that Jakarta was notified the Indian Navy to transit, but after the Holy Coast playing a low key, hoping that it would release the system. And then Philippines and Singapore. These were the three places. Anderson said, plans were made, meanwhile, to arrange provocative leases in such places as Jakarta and the island of Singapore.
I, of course, it's very important what Anderson is to nothing, say nothing. Don't give any credibility to his story, deny it all. Say he's lying.
Right. But you see, there was no circulation of that document.
Well, that's the one that nailed him.
Anyway.
That's the one that nailed him, unless we figure that either Henry or the Admiral or Hay did the thing.
Well, but they didn't see him. The Admiral and his yeoman are the only two people in the world.
Oh,
so
there you go. The Admiral know that it's been in your in Anderson's
office. He's the one that brought it. He's the one that brought it because when I went through the pieces together, see, I had only the cable.
That nailed it. That nailed it.
I had only the cables, and I called up to find out what else. He said, yeah, I did it. There's nothing else to be reported. How in the world did he coincidentally pick out the
dead? What is at the present time Bradford's doing? It's still at home.
Well, he did an interrogation.
Christmas shopping.
No, we have him over there under question right now. Right, right. So,
how far up and how broad and how firm is the law to take him into the trench? Yes, Morris was passed up tomorrow.
Says he never talks to anybody else except Morris. Those are his orders. He was never heard from that when there's an acting chief. He never delivers the pure stuff. He only paraphrases what he has to. Now, the other thing he does is interesting.
So wish we had guys working for us that would get this hand of
information. Well,
would you like to have an intelligence on APW and other departments like that?
We've tried to develop it, but we've never succeeded.
I don't even know what the hell's going on in justice.
Well,
that's because they've got a pretty good pipeline.
Yeah. Here's the other thing they do. When Henry develops an agenda, Moore gets agenda for the meeting, the staff backup papers, and Henry's talking paper in advance of the meeting. So that
he's going right across the board.
He's sitting there looking down Henry's throat.
Let me say this. Let me say this. In this case, of course, as you say, John, with Moore, that's great. I mean, Moore, I have total confidence that he's on our side. I just wish he'd ask and we give it to him in advance. But nevertheless, that's the only other point about, though, with the thing that is very, very bad about this that we have to watch. That's right, we have to use the heart of this thing. I just think, John, if this story got out, it would be used to destroy the services. It would destroy, it's like the night of Camp David, remember?
Yes, sir.
Here's the services setting up their own Gestapo and so forth, spying on the president. Huh? Do you agree that's the way it's shot? Your intellectual friend, would they be worried about
that? What other implication that they might use to put it with Mexico?
Well, there's another element, and that is that,
right, right.
As David says, Henry and the Joint Chiefs are very close. Laird is best ally.
Yes, sir.
Laird is not. Laird knows very well about this yeoman he's testified to. And
how does he know?
he knows because his deputy assistant secretary, and see the investigation branch is not under the Joint Chiefs, it's under the civilian name.
You haven't, you weren't going to put Buckwood in the tollway.
We didn't tell him, but we don't have to. So I saw it right up to him like a percolator.
I'm sure that that's the reason why.
Incidentally, may I ask this? Do you think Laird had all these names? Moore, do you think Moore told Laird?
No doubt.
I don't think so.
Thank God.
You see, it was on Thursday night, and we had been interrogating the body check in Moscow, and the operator came out and said, you will go on, you're hesitating because there is something you can talk about, so we didn't react with that. Then he went into the detail. Now the next day was Friday, and Barry wanted these guys typed up. They did all their men constantly in that one. And they, I must say to their credit, the investigators and the defense, they stuck with it, and they put it all in there. Now, when I went over on Monday morning, the thing was, we're going to farm the guy out, and we're going to take his thing. It up because I think by that time Blair had one of his copies.
He said,
"Hold
it."
And he said, "Yes, sir."
You read the original.
And I went in and they had my copy, but then it said, well, there's got to be some adjustments, and then we're going to spend it on you. So I.
Ha ha ha.
I got to get back to you after this hour, and then I came back here.
I got it.
Well, Harriman had access to just about everything.
He's had access, but he didn't leave.
He has not.
Is there anything else in there?
The
Jordanian.
Check out the Jordanian saying he had access to both of those on Monday. And the last four or five articles, the Jordanian letter from Tim to you, and he had the whole
thing. About the
airplane. Right, he said he was going to go on Oahu or something. But the that was in there verbatim, the whole letter. He had access to that. But as they go back through their whole investigation.
Verbatim
of the letter. This is actually when the letter came in before he knew we were on to it. He had access to it for the
system.
One of them that is in the column actually came in on Monday or Tuesday, and he had dinner with Anderson Sunday night. But then Anderson, he did it, and I got me scrolling on Monday, going to hour by hour, and out of that came the fact that Anderson and his wife stopped by the apartment on Friday night. And then that other article came out on Monday.
Well, that's good Friday night, but the day you started to carry it.
That's right.
Listen, John, are you tailored? Anderson out of the particularly. You see, you released surveilling the house to see whether Anderson's still calling.
What you're saying is that after you knew that you were on to him, you still delivered the material in your
body.
My
only thing would be,
Ellsberg kind of next You see, the other thing that worries me about this, and it would worry Henry even more, this is the new higher morality idea that now Ellsberg did it, and everybody thinks it's fine. And now this guy's doing it. The reason I ask if he did it, if he'd been leaking to Anderson for 13 months, it's not the higher morality. If, on the other hand, he's leaking only stuff that he believes in, which is different from ours, which is India and Pakistan, is the higher morality. And that, to me, is a very disturbing thing.
We don't know that. Wellander doesn't know.
Is Wellander care to his leader?
Does he care? Cares very much.
Well, is he a patriot or not?
Yeah, very. He says this guy should be tried, sentenced, and severely punished. He's very, very incensed about what's up with Wellander. That's why, well, I, of course, we were playing a good joke with Wellander.
Well, all right.
Among our scholars, we understand how these fellows do these things and all that, and we never did stitch it down tight on him.
Usually this sort of activity is not done by people at those lower levels. I mean, that's what we always tend to say, that the garbage man or the yeoman or the quarter-down secretary.
But usually the yeoman was encouraged, bear in mind.
Yeah, that was his theory was always that, well, I didn't do that, must be that guy, I'm not the garbage man.
Yeah.
He did it.
But this guy was the Gaspar of the very top brass.
Oh, I know that in getting the material, but not in leaking it.
That's correct.
The leaking is to see is what it wrongs. Getting it. You can't blame this guy at all. Maybe I understand it, but goddamn it, leaking it, the son of a bitch should be shot.
Yeah.
He should be shot.
We asked Wellander if this fellow were homosexual.
Yeah.
And he said, well, of course, he minces around the office. He's very effeminate, but he said, that's all the yeomen in the Navy. He said, there's no way to go his trouble line there.
Well, I don't care whether he's homosexual or not, except that I damn well want to know whether Anderson
goes to this. It goes to this question of whether something can hold him.
That's what I mean.
There's no clear motive in this man.
Except that you do sense he's lived in India and that he's very pro-India. You agree with that?
No question about that.
That may be
there. Anderson
goes
on board there.
And
he has children? He has no children.
Well, he does have two children. Right. I think he had it.
I didn't hear it yet.
Too damn bad for his brother at Christmas. It really is. Oh well, maybe he doesn't care. He's like Ellsberg. He's probably proud of us.
I don't know.
Could be.
He said it. I think it's been pretty crazy. Is that what
he did? He never said he did. Why Henry, who controls the Indian, and people out of 3 days, expressed no concern about the Anderson Thomas phone.
And he didn't spend an hour with me this morning on his concern about the State Department leaving. The State Department plans, huh?
Oh, yeah, just about him.
Yeah, the plot to destroy it.
Yeah.
Never mentioned this at all.
Now, what the hell is what? That's what I mean.
Yeah, I didn't give him any.
What, by God, if these things in perspective, the little State Department basically is trying to kick Henry down is part of the course, sure they are. But on the other hand, this is much worse. This impairs the security of the country. The other impairs the security of Henry Kissinger. And that's a hell of a lot lesser level of crime. Huh? No, I really mean that. I think I'm just wondering how much Henry and Haig do you know about this.
I know Henry before you about 5 minutes ago. Basically what I told him was that and this was right after the first Anderson story, that his Wasatch meetings had been compromised. That it resulted from the fact that some of the people attending Wasatch took verbatim notes and that they had wide dissemination in the Pentagon. That we were in the process of comparing the availability of documents in the hopes that by cross-reference we could find a limited number of people. He said, where does it look like now? And I said, it looks like here. And he nodded and said, well, I hope you keep informed. And I said, yes, but certainly you should go ahead and continue to have his Wasatch meetings. I would appreciate it if you would have somebody keep track of who took notes in the various meetings. So it was good.
They're supposed to.
Well, they take incredibly detailed notes.
And they're older and less than I should have. The old approach faces the substance of the person that is older.
Pretty wise
crack.
They take it all.
The wise cracks.
All the wise cracks.
Sure, the interesting stuff.
Yeah, but it's not. And then 30 people in the tank, I guess. So, that's all Henry knows for me.
Well,
one of the reasons I don't have
to tell you about it yet is this.
John Bollinger, when he found out that he had an accident, that Matthew had dinner with Anderson, and Bollinger, other young Henry, told Henry, because when I've had Henry on Friday night, he said, did the guy admit it? I said, what? Did he admit that he had dinner with Anderson?
Henry asked
him
that?
Yes. Yeah. And Henry says, well, that shit got, but that's the way to help for the next one.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Well, I think everybody is just walking ahead at the moment.
Yeah,
I think so. Everything got very handy. I had to call later to turn it out. They had a lot of questions. His reaction was, well, now we don't want this thing to come back over to the White House. And the Justice Department told me that this is very touchy, and or told Buzzard, and that this whole thing is very hot, and we shouldn't involve the FBI. And I said, no, we're not involving the FBI. The Justice Department is not in this. All your guys have to do is reinstitute the interrogation. Buzzard was trying to kill Marty. There's a lot of smoke being blown over there right now. And so I finally, he said, well, I'll check into this and call you back. And I said, no, don't call me back. There's no discretion in this. Go ahead. And he said, well, I'll have Buzzard call you. And I said, well, can Buzzard call the president? Don't have him call me. And so he said, well, all right. We'll do anything the president wants us to do, of course. And he hung up. Now I know it's up there. Call for Buzzard. But everybody is very, very anxious about this at the moment.
Now, if this relates to the fine question that I well under the price, how long is it carrying on?
Well, we did it. We got into that.
He doesn't know. He's sure Robinson, his predecessor, kept up with this same practice, but he doesn't know yet that.
Right,
right. It's not specific.
We got to know that.
That's possible. Right. Well, no, we thought maybe it'd be kind of interesting to ask him to come home and talk to us.
But,
I want to do first to start working back.
I not only want Robinson, but I want his predecessor too.
But you're going to get him first.
Get him back. Get him in too. Get him too. As a matter of fact, I got an idea.
Don't get Robinson first. Get Ginsburg first.
He wasn't here when we were here, was he?
No.
Get Ginsburg. And just put him on a lie detector or whatever the hell you have to do, or an interrogation. Want to know what if he knows about this procedure. I think it'd be very good to do that. Just let's find out what's been going on around here. I want to know whether we're being spied on, you see, Dave. Or whether it's just, I mean, what the hell's going on here.
Do that and get it to you. You just add one more guy.
The hell
knows what we're up to.
They all know. There's a great one.
Well, Robinson knows about the investigation when he said what happened. But when Bradford came in and right off the bat said, I know he was going to get him some night and long day with someone collapsed at the table, I said, does anybody know this? And he said, well, I told Admiral Robinson. But I didn't bother telling Admiral Welliver. I said, why? He said, well, when I first met the Andersons, it was through Jack Anderson's parents that I helped in India. And when they came back, they invited me to his house to do this long story. So when I came in the office, I said to the Admiral, I had to meet with the Andersons last night. Very low key. And he said, just a year and a half ago. When he first came on the job, 13 months. Welliver came on the same thing. I went out and I called Robinson in Flotilla 11, somewhere in South Pacific. And I don't know what time it was or where it was, but the guy, clear as a bell, went to the exact same story. I said, did you know that you were the only new Anderson? And he said, yes. He came in and called me one morning and heard it over to me. And he said, Anderson's parents had run into him in India. And he came back and he got
into something by the end of the morning.
Oh, he's part of the morning. Sure, it's the common denominator.
The reason I add is that Robinson reports is that Welliver confirms maybe 2/3 of what the Yankee testified to as to the type of stuff that he transmitted before. But I suspect that the briefcase rifle in the office, that kind of stuff, went out on Robinson, who was much more of an activist. Obviously, more directly stimulated this young. It would be interesting to find the yeoman who worked in that office in the back.
Under Robinson.
Well, under the woman. There was a secretary. They were happy to. They probably were using wine at that time. I don't mind making too much difference.
How long?
When did Robinson come aboard in the office? He came in when we did.
We've got that office cooled off now. They're thrown out. I want them thrown out of here.
Well, that's a precipitant if you do that.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
I'm afraid I suggest that you work out the whole scenario.
That's it. Well, we have to at least not throw them up and cut them off.
Well, there again. That's going to be that's like cutting a major artery. And what will happen? Has to be thought through. And Mr. Dave and I can agree.
Yeah.
What will happen is that if you send Welliver back and you close this office, Haight will become the terminal for that artery. But the artery will continue to
grow. Well, that's very strong. It's still very strong. I guess whatever is done, we should start with Tom Moore.
Yeah, who's a great patriot. And who probably, when he realizes that we know, will be the most chagrin man in America, would you agree?
Or he doesn't know right now. I would be amazed.
Well, Wellman knows. You mean, we don't know that either.
Well, now that we've gone to him and cut his veins all over the board desk this afternoon, he went out of our office with a very lank collar.
One of the things that I've been looking for is more coming in and talking to him.
I think the strategy that we all talked about last night is that let it simmer. Everybody worry. Let Henry and/or Haight and/or Moore and/or Larry come to us. Just let it rot around there a while. Right, John?
That's probably the best could be the case, and if that doesn't happen, then we work out a scenario, go to Moore and work down through there.
You do that.
Closing of the office, the movement of people out, prosecuting her, and then we should go.
Let's not hire ourselves without that song.
No.
We've got to take that. Well, at least if it isn't Hay, it'll be somebody else. It'll be Kennedy, or it'll be one of these other military folks. If they survive on this job.
I'm going to go through anyway, down in briefcases.
In addition to that, you get the social security guy.
That's a big one.
You got a candidate?
Well, I had that site that I had very high on. He's military, but he's damn good.
Sure.
I have discussed this with David, but he said, I bet money on him.
How about for the David Trump?
Well, see, David's got a problem, because he's worked there.
I know.
Subject of David's future is another, for another meeting, I think, because he's got a pickle.
Don't worry about it. I get it 10 times a week. Don't worry.
I'm just thinking of these guys and how good they are at school. Sorry, how did you use them?
Military hands on its way out and it's on its way in.
Quite honestly, the thing that that, but the four people closest to Henry were all military. It was Al, Colonel Kennedy, Commander Howe, and myself, all last year. I was the only civilian. And there's no way anything gets through to Henry if the military doesn't want to get through. Doesn't want to get through.
They don't let it through.
I mean,
well, Al, of course, is talking to people.
But, you know, there's kind of hurdles. But to me, the bad thing was that Henry didn't get the benefit of the guy he had recruited, the guy that was really producing the good stuff. A lot of it he didn't like.
Yeah.
You know, but that was the job.
Does it make any difference whether you liked it or not? I get all of them brings in the stuff, and so does John. You know, John, you send him those damn memorandums, maybe you send him some of those things for, the environment that I'm against, and on the welfare. But I see it. And sometimes he gives me like the Moynihan memorandum. You never fail to send one in, and I don't agree with a lot of Moynihan stuff, but they never fail to stimulate some darn good stuff, you know. I think what we got out of that Moynihan drill, putting that on top of the drill that you're going to go on your tax thing, is really going to make it. Huh? Or do you agree?
We've been following up on that.
Is he excited with the
thing? Yeah, I think we'll have Coleman and Moynihan back in.
Are they excited with the idea or not?
They're not excited with it because they would like to do something else. They would like to have a piece of idealistic legislation.
Cool.
But they recognize that the only thing that will really fly politically is to go for the equalized finance.
Right. And then put the idealism in the river.
Well, they see that we're getting to the same end.
I told the time before I whether it's worth it or not talking about. Only your favors get publicized. Every year's concerns and cities that we've ended the peaceful system in the South. I credit to the South, black and white, and blue. It's a hell of an achievement. There's a revolution taking place. They didn't write that down. John, I don't know if you want me to appeal to those liberals. You're always telling me to be nice to them.
David, you saying that Henry was captured in the military movement?
Yes.
Let's put it.
Well, let me put it this way.
Let's put it firmly, then.
He is tilted too far in terms of the military. Now, that's better than being tilted to state. But on the other hand, state now and then has some good ideas. I've told you this at times, but goddammit. They've got good ideas. I've got to get them.
John, let's put another point. Adrian is talking about is some of the people.
Some of his own civilian staff. Well, that's state.
Non-state. People we recruited from outside.
Fellows like, these are the first time, but like Larry Lynn, who was really a brilliant guy.
Yeah, I know.
But, there was blood on the floor with him and Hay all the time because he couldn't get his stuff through. And he would come to me, and I'd give him to him. And it'd be blood on the floor of my office. And we just went through that all the time.
Not right.
That's important.
See, Henry is a patsy, unless we're going to call him by his friend Joe Kraft, but he's a patsy for always having only those things that have the effect of strengthening his presence. That's the great danger, of course, of anybody who makes a decision, anybody in power. I'm the same way. I like to read them and you agree with me, but don't agree. But I know it's goddamn dangerous. And then now and then you better go over there and read. Maybe the other guy's right. Well, maybe 2 years. Well,
the middle of the
year and a half.
They still have a Navy leader on hand. Did this go to the school of the left now?
This guy testified in his mouth that the liaison man here reports only to the chief and is personal to the chief.
Well, that's good. That's at least one good thing. I wouldn't want to have a lot of this stuff to go to, frankly, not to Westmont, and certainly not to Zumwalt.
Our
judgment is bad.
I think from deducing from this record that Moore has passed up along the river.
So that's the old Navy card.
And I wouldn't want to warrant to you that this admiral, what do you think, has passed up through Zumwalt.
Sure,
because he looks like he's sort of stamped out of the Zumwalt mold. But I don't know that
this thing that he told us about Henry Stanton is very important. I, of course, have an enormous respect for Hayden. I think he's one of the superb operators that I've seen. But on the other hand, they did military. And the military do tend to be very straight arrow, you know, and straight arrow in terms of the chain of command. If you know in the Navy, you write a letter. Your commanding officer's got initial goddamn thing, reports forward. We all remember Kane Newton. I mean, we all know that story.
I have a lot of respect for Hague, and I don't think you have to bottom this on personality. I think you can say that there's something wrong with a system that has inherent in it, by reason of the people, an imbalance, so that the guy in Henry's position is potentially precluded from getting points of view different from one point of view.
Right.
That's the
system. The system should have built into a
guarantee
conflict before that
rather than
a unity.
That's right. That's why I have that rabid conservative sitting over there monitoring all my stuff.
Conservative? Who the hell have you got to conserve?
Cole.
Cole's conservative?
He's got moss all over
him. Thank God.
And he has brought a lot of balance into the system of the Justice Department.
Well, that's true. You see, the thing is, too, that I'm concerned about here is that I'm shocked here that Henry and Olo will think that every time McGregor disagrees about something, McGregor is being disloyal and soft or whatever the goddamn thing is. Well, that's not true. Every time Scalia raises something, jackass question, which he often does, some of my good questions, but, well, Scalia is going to go back and be a reporter someday, so you can't trust him. And frankly, it gets to the point that Henry has this problem. He has it infinitely more than I have, because I don't know how the political game goes. He has the problem that he gives losing the people that are going to agree with him. You know what I mean?
Very much so, particularly if you're they'll take his side against the state department.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. That's another thing. But then, the State Department is wrong about 70% of the time, and 30% of the time is right. What do you
think? Why do you not have to get the issue by your good personality?
Also, if you've got the right people, if you put them to work on something and bring them in on the show, you'll get help. And that's the thing. You've got to do it. We've had a hell of a time on some of this. I know that. Well,
there's a system in the NSA where you do have all this military with this influence, blocking bags and so forth, and that can be addressed. But I don't really function with that.
No. But here's the other problem. So we have to see what Henry's problem is. Henry's problem is finding bright people who will be loyal to the administration. And it's damn fine, hard to find bright people who are basically not ultra liberals and out to screw us. He knows that. So the military people, generally speaking, will be loyal to the administration because they're first military and second probably happen to share my views, which are more shows the conservative.
Some genius in 1700 and something made the president the commander in chief.
Yeah.
That was the greatest thing they ever did.
And they felt
that was very, very much so.
Well, processing doesn't give you military contacts. It's a very good point.
So, Lord knows what directions they might have taken at the time of stress if they hadn't been underway. But,
you're right.
All you have to do is look around the world and see what's happening in almost every country.
Well, you can look around the world and see how many countries people cannot move one way or another because of the military. In fact, Mrs. Gandhi, many say, I don't agree with this, I think she was the hawk. But be that as it may, the argument the British made, was that Mrs. Gandhi could not have done anything other than she did because her military would not stand for it, even in India.
The thing about it over there while we were interviewing the doctor, the only reason he answered that question
they've
got no stripes on that uniform.
All right, that's the kind of commander looks quite good. John, you were the captain
with him on the
commander, full commander. Good scrambled egg, Sergeant.
Well, I really never got it because I got a promotion on the way out. I never was in the army. I was really good at heart. I never answered the letters from the day I landed on the West Coast.
For a historical purpose of this, I want to give you an assignment to have a few hours off. I want you to sit down and write the whole thing out, everything you recall. I don't mean just this, but the things that we've said at these conferences, everything else, so that we have a record. It's going to be a hell of a chapter in somebody's book of your earth.
Wanted to write a memo to your file.
That's what you do. On a total memorandum, you know. Put in there, for example, how you read the history. That's a fascinating little sidelight. And it triggered your. It really was true. It's the way you always learn. I remember sitting there. It was a long day, John, and I was, of course, younger then, had more energy. But at 33. Those were the days where we saw the real communists. And here we are, strictly had a, his Navy sense was almost gone. Too bad.
I saw your reactions
earlier. He would have made a great lawyer. But then the law would have probably spoiled him. You don't get compassion. The law makes people too goddamn reasonable, and they began to listen to the words, and they miss the music. You know, they miss, they don't, you know what I mean? If you just listen to the words, it's a perfect record. But you've got to sit there and sort of let your native suspicions, or whatever the hell they are, don't you agree that that's what you had to do?
Yeah.
If you were looking at it as an intellectual, you'd say, well, this guy is clean.
Very much to the
especially when he was very bad.
He doesn't sit over here where we are. We're supposed to be able to go set in our waist back there.
No, it's study. Now, that's a different jurisdiction. Our police are civilian.
They're not civilian, sir.
And
I throw nothing in the waist back there. I'm probably not.
Well, we got to change to get the system going. And it will be salutary in a way, because probably there's always good up to something like this. We've got to get Henry with all of his enormous talent, and Hay with his enormous talent. We've got to get them set up in a way that we can have a broader feed in of information and so forth. We've got to shape this thing up now.
I would agree with that. I think the first thing to start with is the security consciousness and direction. Got the right guy to put him in there with a black stick. Now's the time to do it when everybody's shook up. I'll say what I'll do before I find the right thing to do. Let me get him in. Talk to him again. Find out what his military situation is.
The good thing about a military guy is that he knows the ropes.
And that's it.
The civilian would have to learn it all from the law.
This guy especially has to learn. He's counter. He supervises the Air Force intelligence operation all over the world.
If his damn rank were so high, I'd have heard a guy to do it would be Walters.
Yeah.
Of course, he wouldn't have to make any notes. So he's going to be great in the CIA, though. He'll shape that goddamn place to its foundation.
There's a new Eisenhower book out.
Which one?
The Eisenhower year as well. It's a digest of his four books plus a lot of photographs of his demonstration. And Walter is all over the place in that thing. He's been all over it.
As soon as the Paris channel closes forever, or if it should open a bit. But if you see, he's indispensable to that secret negotiation. Where'd you go to school?
I went to a small church town in Illinois, the college.
Wait. Great. I spoke there in 1960 on the football field. Sure, they had a huge rally. I don't mean the kids, but in the town. Wait, excellent school. Right up here. That's good.
I've got my first thought about how I could get better education. Said I went there. Make sure I was on the right side of the president Billy Grant, and they went to Cornell and made sure I was on the right side of the place. Rogers.
Yeah.
And I went to Oxford just to kind of live the life.
Where were you?
I did law at Cornell and at Oxford.
Where did you, what was your college?
Queens.
That's a wonderful place. I was there only once. I spoke to you.
He's admitted to the bar now in all the common market centers because he's admitted to the bar in one of them. I got a reciprocity now in the whole time.
John?
That's one of the good things I've ever heard.
John, if you ever go back to the practice of law, you know, there's a gift. There's a very good guy who's directed foreign operations. You can charge $200 an hour for this phone. Charge $100 an hour for each mission. You wouldn't like it worth a damn. I've been there.
David was a nobody. I knocked on the door.
Go back, please.
Go back, please.
Hello.
He was a FD, 35 and a half, and I'm
long road talking, and I said, my foot is biting me. And he strained the hearing and saying, and he said, maybe we can get that close to the snow, because a lot of the trees in the town.
He's a good, loyal man. Incidentally, John, I think you should know that I've show how generous I am. You know, your friend Eaton, you've offered, we're offering in Japan. And if he takes it, he'll be damn good. Well, don't you think he'd be good? I just want him on our side.
I don't think he's going to string him like
April. He is April. Which one is it, Sherman and Sterling?
Friends.
As soon as we finish here, you tell Martin that he is to, at my request, to call Eaton and tell Eaton that, that it's vitally important that he take it in.
That's it, that's it.
Incidentally, would Bill take it? Could he?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Reorganize the fire express in another year or so.
Be a hell of an ambassador. Terrific. But if you would tell Martin to call Eaton and say, now look here, this is, and Martin is to say that he's talked to me, that I think it's that it is the most important embassy in the world today, is Japan. It really is. The hardest to handle. See, we got a damn good one in Rush. We found with a lawyer, and he'd be a great ambassador. Rush is our best ambassador to Europe. Don't you agree? You what? What's going
on? Remember this to Europe?
Yeah, that's right.
Although there was.
Very good, but he doesn't have Russia's mental capacity. Watson is a fine ambassador, but Russia's got balls and mean, like always.
Yeah, France is pretty good. And he saw France keep losing above that,
yeah. No, that's not what you're talking about. He was there, Harvard Law, but I was very smart. I never took Harvard Law. Stay out of that. Never learned about it, thank God. Too complicated. Anyway, you learn it, you all have to unlearn it now. The Mitchell Supreme Court changes all the rules.
I hope so. Good man.
Well, so we let this sit in jail a little bit?
Over Christmas, yeah. These fellows will enjoy Christmas, though.
Why?
What about Robert?
I want to bring back.
I see no problem in bringing him back. I think you ought to bring him back. I think that's one way to let him worry about it. How does that mean?
It accomplishes the same thing.
It's a state of idea.
More
thanks, too. All right.
There's another thing that ripple through the whole.
Yeah, fine. All right. Call him back. Call him back. Just say we want him to come back for a couple of days of interrogation.
Logged the property so that there would be, when he transmitted it down, he would have
have
a record of what he did last. And but I told him it's none of their goddamn business to log it. And, you know, they're staff. But how? You get those guys up there, you get these stewards, all these guys, they're in and out of these rooms all the time. They hear an incredible amount of what's discussed. We got army guys driving our cars, and they hear,
well, for example, I think in my case, there's got to be just a watch on it. I think the Reed case over here much of the time. I'm totally open. You know, I sometimes carry it back, sometimes I don't, but I do it right here on the floor. So anybody that comes in, I think if a woman comes in to clean this place, somebody should be standing there.
Oh, they are. They are always.
Okay.
Secret Service agent is.
Oh, watch it.
Oh.
Mark's
okay.
Mari stands up as the one talks with some of us have been given into some of the specifics. Mari doesn't want to do it, but he'll do it if he wants to. And he gives these reasons. His wife has got this very bad medical problem on the first day. She's in and out of that wall of the business. They're the only ones who treat her, change her chemistry, etc. That's
Well,
Amish had this big argument that I made with Maury, and I think perfectly valid, that he would want and get a salary for doing the job.
Absolutely.
He had a car.
Right.
And he will have the 10 months or whatever it is in order to make these contacts.
Look around.
You could really talk to some of these people on the first day of ex-Secretary of Commerce out on most of the boards are putting the bus for these corporations.
You know, he can pick up 10 directorships and just retire on that.
Another thing, too, is that he has an opportunity to pick up a directorship in any foreign corporation. I mean, one of these multinational things, because he's traveled the world now, beat his eye open to China and Russia and all that crap. I think we can answer that.
All right, now there's one other item in connection with this, Mr. Tino. Maury points out that if he can stay through this point in January, he has a 3-year date for retention out of the government. He can hire himself.
That's easy enough. That's easy enough, but he should announce that he should make a determination sooner so that you can get views and over there and training.
Well, we also have a more practical problem, more important thing that matters with that.
He's got to keep going and raise the fund.
I'm going to come back up here.
We've got 60 days to raise our
Right. So,
if you can start now.
Yeah.
And every day you start, one day gained over the plus to 60.
So if that's agreeable, I'm on that basis.
All the way on the financial side, you should be given a hell of a salary,
And I think the hospital fund is quite important to you.
Hell of a good salary, and the salary should be enough to cover the hospital fund, too.
But it's
and you check with the cops to say that I want to order it. She's a former wife of former captain. I know that it's done.
Well, they're working on it.
Yeah,
it's done. It's working for that.
Or you should discuss it with people.
I'll talk to them about it.
Can I assume that this can be done?
Do you want to check it out? No, I'll check it. To be sure.
Check it to be sure if you don't want to talk to them. But ask Walter if that can be done.
Is it Walter Reed? Do you think you're
yes. And it's not like somebody with cancer. It's very complicated.
Yeah, she's got a cancer here. She's got
blood deficiency infection. Is that really? All the other industries that go through the last and under Hampshire, it looks like the best time for what we do is in some ways in the day of January 10th through 12th. I said, what we do this is aside to do my favorite style and what we are so far. And there are two factors involved. Number one, of course, is the Hampshire law that after you apply your petition, you have this 10-day period to decline. The other is in connection with the delegate slate. We have a pledge delegate slate, and it requires an assent. So, and what I would suggest is that we structure the letters from the Mr. President approving the delegates, and also a letter to Glenn Hill announcing that you are not going to take your name off the ballot.
And the way I would like to do that is to have them write a letter, him write a letter to me, and then I respond to it, and we release that correspondence as the announcement.
That's it.
Now, so that I don't have to make, I'm not going to make any announcement. I don't want Stigler to make any announcement. I just want to, that's the way I think the Eisenhower thing was handled.
What I would like to do with your permission is let Glenel, with the letter approving the delegate and so forth, get publicly in New Hampshire.
Oh, sure.
To go to the courthouse steps and all that.
That
Richard Nixon is affirmatively a candidate for the people in New Hampshire.
Correct.
Which will cover all of that. Now, do you have any particular date on this?
Limiting factors would be State of the Union on the 20th.
The week
preceding.
All right.
The only question there would be a non-announcement if there's going to be one.
Or if this started, maybe one day it's done. And I don't care. Pick pick any day of the week. And we're not, we're not anxious to make it a big story.
No, that here, I quite agree that all you have to do is have a big release, these innocuous letters. And then we're on the record, but up there, that's when I'll take the letter and the delegate says it's all right.
Well, that we really just make much difference in making it. Out up there, we have nothing. How do we make any difference here?
We can defend, so there's no problem.
The 9th is the day Pat comes back.
I want that.
That makes sense.
What day is that?
The 9th is Sunday.
What day is it?
And she comes back Sunday. And then,
well, I'm going to pick up 12.
12 is Wednesday.
Where is the day?
Tomorrow, if he's in town, and you sure about it, I'll talk to him about running.
In the California picture, we have Gordon Lewis, the guy's on the front, and Mossinger is moving all the way to the person. And this was the kind of flesh that was got the bad guy. The reason has it been before, and all the rats are being shipped. Are they? How are they being shipped?
Well, Tom Reed is trying to get back here, you know, but Reagan has a complex that he believes everybody is not going to fix. There was an article in U.S. Newsweek, which said this, and no one heard it.
And Reagan read it.
And he read it in the first thing,
Nancy
believed it. But, as I've said before, we've got everybody from Earl Adams to Bill Bay into the
state.
So,
get that congressional problem.
I'd love to see this. And by the way, if this does come about, don't let Bob run off for the five liberals. Let's see if we can't balance it out without
crossing. Yes, sure.
All right, sir.
That's going to be quite a mess.
Five died running at large. You know, you could win all five.
Sure. You could win all five if you got lucky.
Well, I would think so.
So, you're proud to be with a man today.